Hello, everybody, and welcome to NYP.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Asher Brothers Podcast. I'm Kirk Asher.
Well, we're not doing the Asher Brothers Podcast. We're doing NYPD Blue Balls.
Oh, well, then...
So it's not so fucking easy, is it? It's not as easy as it looks, Kyle. Just coming in...
It's pretty easy when you do every single one of them and never let me try to open the show.
Do you want to do this one? All you have to do is say Season 1, Episode 14, Jumping Jack Fleischman, and then talk about the intro of the episode.
I don't want to do this one.
Season 1, Episode 14, Jumping Jack Fleischman. It opens up on a naked lady, and they're investigating her death scene, and it looks like it's drug-related.
Yeah, and Sipowicz has a cavity.
Sipowicz is a not controllable.
He's inconsolable?
Yes, that's no. Maybe that's... No. He's unable to just be
unabashedly.
He's just a dick right now.
Yeah, he's been, he's just a dick.
The super comes in and basically says his side of the story, and it makes him look kind of like a moron because he guessed there was a struggle and a fight inside the
There was a fight, so he went to the door, knocked on the door, and said, "Is everything okay?" The apartment's owned by a woman. A man said, "Yeah, everything's cool." And then he left for 48 hours.
Mm-hmm. And then, well, Sipowicz says to him, "Got a lot of morons in your family? Because that could be genetic."
That's pretty funny.
It looks like it might be drug-related. They're not 100% sure. And the only thing that we really gather is that Sipowicz really needs to go to the dentist.
Yeah, Sipowicz has some fucked up teeth.
Because even the guys, like... They're making jokes about Sipowicz while there's the dead woman and the smell and all that, because I think they think it'll be pretty easy.
Well, yeah, even the super says, like, "Oh, what's his problem?"
Yeah.
And then Metavoy says something along the lines of, like, "Oh, he's regularly like a baby anyways, but his teeth also hurt," or something like that.
Oh, we have the
Well, Metavoy and Martinez start working a strangulation case.
Uh-huh.
The deeper they look into it, the more they find out that it's the work of a cross-dresser. And there's these two women that they trace it to, like, a wig store, I think. Uh-huh. And there's these two women that are, like, super chatty.
Super, they're just stereotypes. Like, they're not
Yeah,
even,
they make
like...
them stereotypical, like, women who are just like, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
We find this out because Greg Medavoy gives this,
that
like...
That sounded like that could have been one of the Bluths. Like, I could have been a Bluth trying to do
a
how
chicken?
A chicken sounds.
Uh-huh.
Chop, cheek chop, cheek chop. A-coo-da-doo-da-doo.
Arrested Development, sorry. Netflix. There's also an introduction of another character.
Roy Larson.
I called him Steroid Steve in my notes until I heard his name, because I thought he was on steroids from the beginning.
Yeah.
And he also kind of looks like he's a porn star.
Yeah, he's got that Tom Selleck stash.
He's got a stash that won't quit, and he's also got, like, a furious...
And we learn later that he has an ass that won't quit either.
Well, that's not in this episode, Kyle. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, it is.
No, it isn't. It's not in this episode, it's later.
No, wait, anyways.
Yeah, it's totally later. This is the one where he fucks up getting the rapist.
Yeah, and then at the end of it, they're leaving... And he's talking about, like, you know, Kelly, he apologizes to him for saying stuff, and then as they're leaving, he slaps his ass, doesn't he?
No, it's not this episode, I guarantee it.
Okay, you're right, I'm sorry. Anyways, when we find out later, he has an ass that won't quit.
But he also really wants that LaCalce. He's not letting it go.
He's, like, chomping at the bit for that LaCalce.
He is trying so hard to get at her. And it's gotten to the point where it's, like, sad, like, right at the beginning, where he's talking about her muscles.
Yeah.
And he's like, "I could work you out just the right way," and this and that.
But LaCalce's pretty, I think she does a pretty good job of, like...
rebuffing those advances?
Yeah, and being frank and honest with him throughout the whole thing. Isn't it this episode where she's like, "I think you have a problem"?
No. That happens later as well. I think you are merging episodes, Kyle.
I am merging them. I'm merging them all into one. I'm sorry. This is just when they meet. No, because I have in my notes, Sipowicz suspects that Larson's short temper and odd behavior points to a drug problem.
Yeah, but they don't look into that until the next episode.
That's right, my bad. Okay, but yeah, so anyways.
LaSalle gets a rape.
Yeah.
Well, basically, she gets an assault.
She orders up one rape, and she gets it.
She gets a rape with a side of assault, and she basically...
The lady doesn't want to say that she was raped.
But LaSalle, being from Special Victims, basically the only reason she's from Special Victims, I think, is so she can do this case, where the woman comes in and says she's assaulted, for and she was getting, like, her, I don't know, some kind of check, her welfare check?
She's an unemployment check.
She's getting an unemployment check, and they'll only reissue if she puts in a police report that she was actually assaulted and robbed.
Yeah.
So she goes to do that, and then after some keen investigative skills, LaSalle figures out that she was raped and asks the right questions to get her to confess that she was raped, even though it's not like a hard interrogation. It was more of a, like, letting her know it's okay and safe place and this and that. She goes, this rape sounds a lot like a couple of rapes that were in a different area a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she puts it together that it might be the same guy, so they set up a sting because the guy was very ritualistic with his rape.
Well, yeah, she said after the first one, he went 3 days. After the second one, he went 1 day. And then he started to do them, like, back to back.
And
so they were worried about that. So they call on LaCalce
and Roy.
And Roy Larson to set up this sting. And during the sting, Roy blows it.
Roy blows it pretty hard. Not only does he give himself up as a cop by being way too suspicious, he then chases the guy down and the guy hasn't done anything. And then pulls his gun on him and trains it on him. And then the other cops come out and go police. And the guy is like, what are you talking about? He didn't say he was police. Which is a real big no-no. That's why the people on Reno 911 say Sheriff's Department when they scream and run at you.
That's a big no-no.
They always run and say, Sheriff's Department!
Sheriff's Department!
But before that, Sipowicz goes to the dentist.
Yes. And this was weird to me.
And he's working on his teeth, on his teethus, and he isn't taking Novocaine because he doesn't like needles.
Well, also, I think it's because he was an alcoholic.
And he doesn't want any drugs in him?
Yeah, because in later episodes you find out when he's really sick, they're like, I want to give you this drug, and he's like, no, I can't take this drug, I'm recovering alcoholic. I think he uses it as saying, because he never answers, I hate needles. The doctor says, oh, you hate needles? And he goes, oh, all the biggest tough guys.
No, didn't he say no needles? I thought he said no needles.
I think that's a cover. I think that's a cover because he's a recurring alcoholic and he doesn't want drugs in his system, so it activates him wanting to be fucked up.
It also highlights a real big problem in this country where dentists want to talk to you when they're fucking around in your mouth. Because the dentist gives this huge, like, this huge monologue about people cross what I like to call the great divide when they think that we can't help them. And it's like, I'm not your father, I'm not your priest, I'm just a mechanic for you.
I'm okay with dentists, like, talking as long as you don't ask
questions.
As long as you, like, ask yes or no questions. Don't ask questions that involve explanation.
Words.
Just something I can go, like, shake my head no or yes to, you know, and then I'm fine with that because it keeps my mind off of it. But when you're like, try to ask for things you have to explain, it's like, or when you talk about, or when you're just talking, then it's like kind of annoying too.
Yeah, he was just, I felt like he was a talker. Like he was a dude.
That dude was a talker. That dude would not shut the fuck up.
And then a nurse comes in, one of the dental hygienists. One of the lovely ladies that scrapes the shit out of your teeth before the guy, like, looks over and says, good job.
Yeah, before the guy who gets paid more just goes, they're fine. And moves off.
Starts counting down to his next boat. Basically, she runs in and goes, Fleischman's outside the window. He's gonna jump. And Sipowicz is like, no, he's fine. I'm pretty sure he's just messing around. Because he doesn't... He just wants to get...
Yeah, Simmons is like, nah, fuck that. Like...
he just wants to get this dental problem over with.
He runs next door, and the dude's out on the ledge. Sipowicz does this a lot, where he just thinks it's his place to do things that he's not trained for. Not like hostage negotiating.
Well, I think, I mean, I don't want to put ideas into Sipowicz's head, because I'm not Sipowicz. But I...
You're no way near Sipowicz.
Well, thank you. I couldn't pull Costas. So, the thing I thought he was doing is... They probably have to do some type of crisis training in terms of people that are suicidal when you're a cop. Like, it probably has to happen.
Yeah, but Kirk, this is past... Excuse me, crisis training. This is the dude's on the ledge, and he closed the window and said, if you come out here, I'm gonna jump.
The thing that made me annoyed was not Sipowicz was like... Oh, I'm gonna talk this guy down. What made me annoyed is that the doctor and the nurses were, like, giving him info and trying to talk to him when he was just trying to, like, get it done. Because he's like, hey, you got a lot of friends in here. And then the doctor goes, he's not my friend.
It's yeah, like, that pissed me off the most. Like, dude, just you didn't have to say that.
just shut up.
Shut the fuck up.
Like, let me do my work.
Keep your goddamn mouth shut and just let me like try to get this guy saved. This guy obviously wants to kill himself. He doesn't want to hear you say that you don't like him.
But he goes out to the window and you find out that this Fleischman character is like an embezzler. I think he said he cheats on his wife.
Yeah. You come to find out he like embezzled a fuck ton of money and he cheated on his wife. And so he's kind of like, I'm going to be indicted by...
The IRS? Like,
the IRS. I'm a tax cheat. Blah, blah, blah.
And basically, Sipowicz has what is an argument that he has with himself, which is, can I change? Can people change? Because he's an alcoholic and he's trying to be a better person. And this guy says, no, you're always the scumbag that you are. So it's kind of like a really interesting moment for Sipowicz, because Sipowicz realizes, like, oh shit, like maybe that guy's right. Maybe we're not supposed to change and we're not going to get any better than we actually are. And me doing this thing with Costas isn't really going to go anywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't know. I just felt like that guy was going to jump no matter what.
Yeah, it becomes clear that when, like, because the crisis, like, right after he jumps and hits the ground, Sipowicz says, well, there are the guys, because the guys pulled up, like, right as it happened. He was going to do it regardless, but he's like, I'll have one conversation with this rando before it happens.
But that dude kind of popped off real quick, too. Did you see how he slipped off there?
Yeah, he was a quick jump.
He was like, you're sliding off a park bench. It was just funny to me. He was like, ready to go. Like, the way he did it, he just was like, oh, fuck it. Just like hopped right off and was gone. It was funny to me how he killed himself.
And you said earlier, the death at the beginning, they find out that this guy... through, like, fake nail receipts and wig receipts. You find out, they track him down to this beauty parlor, and Greg Medavoy gives this speech to Fancy that's like, yeah, I've been on... the, like, this is one of the moments where I find Medavoy kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Because Medavoy is basically doing, like... Because this is the early 90s. He's doing the early 90s, like, do you believe this guy's dressed up like a woman?
Yeah. It was definitely a sign of it's time.
And we find out that the guy went to a beauty shop and was like, I want to turn myself into a woman. And these two women basically jumped on top of the task and said, we made it so believable you wouldn't know. So they...
And then when they do see him, it's like, oh, no, you can tell that that dude has a dick. You know
what I mean? Like, but you meet these characters that run the beauty shop. And they're like, just, they're hens. I mean, for like...
Yeah, they're just chatty Cathys.
They're like back and forth. Talk.
One of them, the hotter of the two...
Yep.
I mean, that's fucked up to say, but...
The other one
the hotter
was...
of the two, she has a thing for Martinez.
And that's
and
clear.
I think Martinez would dig her if she didn't talk so much, personally.
Yeah, because Martinez, like, in later seasons... meets with a girl and then has his own, like, love situation.
And Martinez's love situations are fucking weird.
But
one of them's weird.
And they kind of look similar to that woman. So it, I think it was her type, but he was just like, I'm not dealing with this fucking chit chat all the time.
She, it's never, this is going to sound fucked up.
No.
Like, it's never good for a girl's first impression to a guy is to be around her friends.
No.
That's never, for guys especially. Guys are going to look at that. If I saw Maria's friends the first date we went on, I'd been like, what? Like, if I have to hang out with these people all the time.
So do I need to cut that from the show?
Yeah. You should. No, you don't have to cut that. No one's going to listen to that. I'm not saying it wouldn't have stopped me from dating Maria, but I would have definitely been like, who is this whole group? This is craziness.
So it creates kind of a problem because they're the only two people that know what he looks like now.
Yeah,
and they're giving off the impression that they will never figure out who this guy is unless they get their help, because that was his plan to turn into a woman so he never gets caught.
Yeah,
which is like a real, like, obviously a guy who's like addicted to crack would think. Like, at least,
but wasn't he also gonna leave town? I felt like he was trying to maybe leave too. I don't know.
That storyline kind of wraps up where they're on a stakeout, and...
Well, they bring Sipowicz and Kelly in.
To take over.
Because they stayed up all night with them.
And then, the woman gives a speech about, like, it's my civic duty to stay here to help you guys figure this out, and then he comes out of a taxi cab.
Yeah, and he looks like a dude dressed like a chick.
He looks like a dude dressed as a woman. We can say that we've come very far very far and very back in the issue of transgender rights.
Yeah, and we've come very far in how they, you can help them look.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, this guy was
Caitlyn
not...
Caitlyn Jenner excluded.
Oh, wow.
I mean, South Park got it right, man.
She's not a hero?
She's not a hero.
No, she isn't. I mean...
She's a murderer.
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, we're not going to win any medals by this conversation, but we don't find her heroic, I think we could just say. The point is this. He comes out, and then basically Kelly and Sipowicz go like, are you going to make us take you down while you're in heels? Like, are you going to make this big scene? And turns out, yeah, he's going to make a big scene, throws a purse.
Yeah, doesn't the dude, like, pull his skirt up over his waist and runs at Sipowicz?
Yeah, runs, like, and then, no, he runs at Kelly, right?
No, doesn't he run by Sipowicz and then runs at Kelly?
And then
Sipowicz runs after him.
And then Kelly basically, like, straight football player, just slams her into a car.
She's not really, like, I don't look at him as transitioning. I look at him as just dressing up like a girl to hide.
That was the deep question I was going to ask. It's not an issue of gender identity at all. This guy's trying to get out of, he's trying to beat a murder.
Yeah, because there's crack involved. Like you said earlier, he's a crackhead and he's probably panicking and he's probably like, oh, I can dress up like a girl and say I'm somebody else and be fine. You know, that's what I think.
But it was also, it's also funny because they take him down, and Sipowicz...
Yeah, and the top of a car, too.
Yeah, and they beat him. They probably threw in a couple extra punches, because that's how this police station works now. But
and Sipowicz loses his crown, right?
He swallows his crown.
Which, and he's pissed.
Yeah, he's upset. And that leads to that conversation with... Costas, where she's like, am I coming over today? It becomes a runner in these episodes that Costas wants to get over at Sipowicz's place.
Well, because Sipowicz has a problem with people coming over because he's an alcoholic.
He's also kind of... Because we've touched on the fact that Sipowicz doesn't like change. He doesn't like people coming in and out of like his life that may upset it. And I think it's because like he lost his wife and kid. And now he's, like, trying to stay off booze, so he just wants to stay in his room and, like, make sure that no one upsets the balance.
Well, and he's also worked, and the thing is, as you've mentioned it earlier, he didn't become sober through learning proper steps to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
He did it on his own, so everything he does has a very strict, like... schedule and way to it, and if he upsets that balance, he's afraid that's going to make him drink. So bringing her over is going to upset that balance. And so he's really, really worried about it.
There's also a story in this where I think Lacalce busts Lois, the prostitute.
Yes, 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 yes.
And she basically, because, I mean, I don't know anything about whores or prostitutes. It's really fucked up that when you're in a giant group of prostitutes to go, hey, is Andy here? Yeah, can you get me out of this?
Because they kind of, I mean, they kind of allude to it throughout a lot of the episodes. I don't remember where exactly. But through a lot of the episodes, they allude to the fact that a lot of cops have relationships with prostitutes. So it's the kind of the same thing in other episodes when there's a group that's arrested for selling drugs. And there's people that are like, oh, where's Martinez? Where's Simone? Where's Ricky Schroeder's character? So I didn't think it was weird.
I'm not talking about the idea that, like, a prostitute has any friendly relations with a member of law enforcement. I'm saying isn't it fucked up to those other prostitutes and the pimps or whatever that in the room with them, she's basically like, hey, where's my get-out-of-jail-free card? Like, just go get Andy. You know what I mean? Because they immediately said, like, what, is she going to get special treatment? Which is kind of like, yeah, like, why the fuck would she get special treatment just because she knows who Andy is? Like, they all got busted for the same crime. And as it
turns out... I see what you're saying on that one. I get that part.
But Andy...
That is kind of weird. She could have done it quieter. She could have just been like, hey, can you see if Andy's around? And tell him Lois is here?
Yeah,
But they all know who Lois is. They all know Lois.
Yeah, because even
the reason he got shot.
Even Costas knew. Because what happens is, basically, Lacalce goes to Sipowicz and say, hey, I got a prostitute named Lois in a bust. She's asking them for you because she can't make bail. And Sipowicz is like, okay, here. And gives her the money and says, also tell her never to speak to me again.
Yeah.
Lois comes by and basically says, like, Andy, like, don't I deserve at least, like, one dinner, like, to explain what happened? And Sipowicz gives that to her. He says, fine, I'll give you one dinner.
By doing that, he cancels a night. He tells Sylvia he's busy.
And Sylvia figures out that it was because of Lois.
Well, he sees them leave together.
And this is a really good Sipowicz moment, because Sipowicz has that moment with Fleischman, where he jumps off. And then he's sitting in a restaurant, basically talking to a member of his old life. And she says, like, hey, just have a drink. Like, we always had good times when we drank. And he's like, yeah, but those good times led me to being shot and suspended and almost dying and this and that.
So she orders a drink.
And puts it in front
anyways.
Of him.
Like, yeah, she forces him to have a glass of scotch in front of him.
And he does, like, probably one of the most badass things an alcoholic can do when someone just puts a drink in front of him. And that was, he basically says, you know what, Lois, like, you have a great life, like, we're done. And you find out, like, by Lois's reaction, like, she just wanted some companionship, it looked like.
No, I don't think so.
Do you think she wanted money or something?
It seemed to me like she was looking to renew what they had.
Like, the standing order that he had for her every Tuesday?
Yeah. Like, renew their romance or whatever, their relationship, and, like, have sex and have him around and shit.
You don't think that at all she had feelings for him? Like, even, like, no, nice feelings?
And... I do. I think it might have been more than just a, I think she might have been wanting to get out of the life, and maybe she could see, like, starting with Andy.
Yeah, because I
could see that, because she kind of talks about wanting to start over, but... Then again, the reason why Andy leaves is because even though she's talking this big game, she still has an alcoholic and has a drinking problem. And so he knows he can't do that.
It's really kind of a sad moment because if you are a person that's dealing with like an addiction or like even like a mental health issue, and there are people in your life that make that worse, even if you like them as people, you have to separate yourself from them. And this is a really good scene to highlight that, because basically, like, this is a woman who, like, she's at the lowest of the low, too. Like, he was a drunk cop that was moments away from being fired, basically. And she is a prostitute that was basically paid off by a mafia guy to shoot someone. She's not doing great either.
But he can't be in that relationship.
Yeah, that's the point. Like, he can't do that anymore.
Because all he'll see every time he's with her is the dude who shot her. Shot him. Like, there's no way. There's
so,
no way he could.
So he basically...
And plus, she's an alcoholic, and she has to fix herself first, so...
Yeah, I think that was a good scene. But that leads to another scene that's some of the roots of the Kostas-Sipowicz relationship.
Where she's giving him shit
for hanging out with the prostitute that tried to get him killed. Uh-huh. And he basically, like, he lays on the Sipowicz charm and basically says, like, that's not the deal. That's not what I was doing. Like, I was trying to, I was giving her her chance to explain herself. I would never do anything to ruin this.
Yeah, because he digs Kostas a lot. It's taken him a while. He kind of says something very sternly. I forgot to write it down, but it kind of snaps her into like reality of like, oh, okay. Maybe he's telling the truth. You know,
every fight or argument is based out of some form of miscommunication, where someone just doesn't hear what the other person is saying because they're not making
every
it.
Fight.
I would say every fight. Every fight is people not empathizing and listening to each other. And
so what if like a woman catches a man cheating and they have a fight? How is that a form of miscommunication?
Well, I'm saying that, let me put it this way then, Kyle, Mr. Whole Poke-a-Rooney. I poke holes in people's words. The thing is, what I meant about saying that is this miscommunication with Kostas. Once Sipowicz goes, one of my old friends died. He was shot in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I just watched a guy jump out of a window. I've been dealing with this fucking tooth all day. We just had to chase down a guy dressed as a woman. Basically, I've had a really shitty day, and I had a drink put in front of me, and I refused it, which is probably one of the hardest things that dude could do. And
but see, this is where I think I'm gonna play devil's advocate here, and I'm gonna look at it from a woman's point of view.
You're gonna do an impression of Keanu Reeves and Al Pacino and Charlize Theron.
I might be able to keep my southern accent longer than he did.
Oh,
so,
Jesus, that movie's awesome.
No, so what Sipowicz never apologizes for is he chose Lois over Kostas.
Mm-hmm.
And from a woman's point of view, he should, like, they're both at fault. They both miscommunicated. She judged too quickly, but he also, in my opinion, chose the wrong person to go with.
Well,
he should have went with Kostas, not with Lois.
Because you even said yourself
because
that...
it's written by men and the main character is a man, they're going to show it from his point of view, and his point of view is, I didn't go. Her hormones acted up and got out of hand.
Well,
and so she has to apologize. That's what I took from it.
I disagree a little bit, simply because Sipowicz, he was up front with Kostas after the fact about what the meeting was for, and he at no point attempted a romantic like rendezvous with this woman. He was giving her the chance to for forgiveness.
I agree with you, but what I'm saying is from the get-go, his choice should have been her. In the real world, not in a TV show, in the real world, he should have said to Lois, no, I can't go out to dinner with you. Or, here's the thing, I don't remember the order of how it went, but I think it went Lois asked first, then Kostas asked, and he said, oh, I'm busy. And then Kostas saw him leave with her.
I think that's what it is, yeah.
I think that's what it is. What he should have done in the real world is when he got asked by Lois and said yes, but then Kostas asked, he should have went to Lois and said, hey, I can't do it, I gotta go, and basically cut him out of his life right there. Don't even put the temptation of hanging out with someone from your past. That's what I think.
I think we just disagree wholeheartedly.
No,
that's
but
fine.
To drive the story, they had to do it that way.
But I think even if you didn't have it to drive the story, in the real world, that's a person from your past that not only represents...
Well, then I guess we're different, because I would have said no.
that woman isn't just someone that's a link to his past. That's a woman who was put in the situation, hey, help us kill a guy or a John. Help us kill a John that you see regularly, or we'll kill you. Because that's basically what happened with Ghirardella.
Yeah, but you know what I think he figures out, though?
What?
I think he figures out when she's explaining. When she's explaining, like, Ghirardella's like, oh, we'll kill you. We'll kill this. We'll, like, hurt you if you don't help us, blah, blah, blah. I think as she's talking, Sipowicz kind of goes, fuck, like, why am I even dealing with this life again? You know, I think he wants to know why she did it, but then when she hears all of, when he hears, like, all of the shit that used to be, what was in the past, he's kind of like, why did I ever choose that life? It's not a good one. Then that's why I think it motivates him to leave. But I guess I'm of the mind that if, like, if I got asked out by some crazy crackhead, you know, like, well, okay, I'm at my job and I'm working with some crazy crackhead, and she's like from my past, and she's like, let's go out to dinner. And then, like, so I would just say no, or I would go back and tell her, like, hey, I'm sorry, something came up, I can't take you out. And you know what? It's probably for the best. Let's just leave it at that.
All right. I mean,
I don't know. That's just my opinion, I guess.
We just differ, and that's fine. We're allowed to disagree.
I guess I just have an easier time of cutting people off if they don't fit. If it's something that's a negative part that happened in my life, or something that I did in my life, but it didn't garner positive outcomes, then I kind of look at it as, like, even if you're a nice person, like, I don't see myself hanging out with you if when we hang out, nothing positive happens. You know what I mean? Our best relationship is probably through, like, Facebook messaging.
All right. I just
that's
see,
just the way I look at things, but
and I just see it as Sipowicz as a character who he understands what it's like to be in that life of being.
Oh yeah, Sipowicz
drunk.
Is always trying to help,
and like, that's why he
he's
did
a
it.
Fucking alcoholic, crazy person. He's also driven at his job of wanting to help people and do the right thing and solve cases, like you said before. So, like, later on when he's a sober person and he's working at it still, he always offers help to people who are drunk because he that's just the type of person he is. So, yeah. It's weird. He's like one of the nicest racists in the world.
All right, we're not going to open
that. I think
he
grows out of it. You're right.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, working with Simone, he's not a white person. He's not black, but he's not white, so that helps.
And working with Fancy and Baldwin.
Working with Fancy and working James. In the community, that helps. But he starts out, he's a racist, and I think he comes away from it more and more. But that episode was actually good because you saw Sipowicz grow.
There's one thing I wanted to ask you about that I completely forgot. The rapist case.
Oh, yeah, there's this whole thing about rape and how they're afraid how they're going to tell it to the man that she got raped.
Yeah, that was pretty terrible.
And then when they're like, yeah, so this is, like, kind of glib the way I'm saying it, but they're like, yeah, she got raped. Like, the woman asks LaSalle to basically tell her husband that she got raped.
Because she can't do it.
Because she can't do it, because she's afraid he's going to be like, well, what were you wearing? And you brought it on yourself type shit. And
yeah,
that's that was unreal to me.
I haven't been in a relationship recently, and it's been a long time since I've been in one. But if I had a very long relationship or a marriage, and the woman said, like, hey, you remember when I got assaulted the other day? I was also raped. The last thing I would do would say, like, oh my god, what has this done to me? You know,
well, yeah, he gets all pissed off, and the way they act it, camera's still on him, and it's like all this whole thing is driven off of his reaction, and it's like, why isn't it driven off of the woman who was raped reaction? You know what I mean? Like, it was weird.
And then
that was something you would never see today on TV.
No, absolutely not.
They would never do that again because they would have so many people pissed off about it.
And then basically LaSalle goes, oh, you think that maybe she was asking for it? Which is such a dumb fucking thing to say to a woman that was raped. He's like, look at all these other victims. Oh, the difference is they died.
And then, like, she's like, and the difference is that they were all, well, a lot of them were old.
Yeah, a lot of them were older, easily.
And then there was some weird biblical thing with the guy.
That's what I was actually going to ask you.
He read his Bible and did push-ups.
I underlined the woman, like, because the notes were made a long time ago, and I ran out of space, and I wrote, woman caused the rape, question mark, and I underlined it, because it's like, what the fuck is, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But the other thing I wrote was, they find out that the rapist, the alleged rapist, because they don't know, they find out that he's like, nah, I replaced that with scripture.
Yeah.
And he's just stonewalling them.
There's a lot of fuck you to God in this
series and show.
TV show.
There is and there isn't. I think it plays with the line.
But there's a lot of things where it's like, a lot of people who are like deranged and fucked up are like, oh no, I'm saved now because of God, and then they go and rape a boy, you know? Like, or, you know, like,
yeah, you know, that like shit. That. Well, that happens.
There's a lot of that shit. This episode was cool. I enjoyed it. It grew Costas and Andy's relationship.
Mm-hmm. It dealt with a lot
it
of...
It showed that this LaSalle girl lady was a good cop. Like, she's a good detective. Mm-hmm. Like, she was able to pick out real quick. She's really caring and works well with women. She's a good cop.
It also is a good... It's a great episode to just highlight how old the show is.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, parts in it where they... Like, the way they talk about a guy who dresses up like a woman and the rape thing, where you're like, yeah, that's not even close to what's acceptable now.
So, yeah, like, there's no way that we would be worried about the man's feelings.
Yeah.
You should never be worried about the man's feelings.
The only thing...
When it comes to rape.
I felt like if that scene was shot today, she would have said, I just don't know how he's going to react. And then she's like, your wife wasn't just assaulted, she was raped. He would have, like, put her arms around her and said, I'm so sorry, how can I help? Or, like,
yeah,
I'm
like,
so sorry. Like,
once did he say, are you okay?
Like, yeah, well, like, what the fuck is that?
It ended with him basically as a man going, okay, we will help you then.
Yeah, because...
You have explained to me why this is a big deal and it should, and now I care, so we'll help you. Not, like, let her... It's her decision, whatever she wants to do, like... What we need to deal with her, like her emotionally and her physically. None of that shit.
No, none of that.
It was all about him, which was so weird. And I was like, that's so weird that people thought like that. But it makes sense.
And just to clarify, they needed her to testify because the guy was stonewalling them because they fucked up the grab.
Yes.
So yeah. They just needed her to testify.
Because going all the way back to Roy Larson, he fucked up.
And yeah. and they think he has a drug problem because he keeps going up to people. Oh, do you think I fucked up that bust?
Yeah, but he's like, he's super like schizoid.
He's
like Abed, kind of, but without the like charm.
Yeah.
And without the like cuteness to it. He's just like all up in your face and like moving real quickly. And it's
so,
just like,
wait, hold on.
And I think Andy says, I bet it's speed. That's what Andy said.
So are you telling me that people with autism are just meth heads, but with charm?
Some people with autism don't have charm.
Anyway, any last thoughts about the episode other than...
Oh, no, I like where the episodes are going because you get to see they're building characters. That's like, I mean...
Yeah, it's a good...
I mean, you get to slowly see how people are acting and how they're... becoming who they are. Like, John Kelly's just boring. Mm-hmm. I don't see how people liked him. Maybe it's just a bias because I don't like him as an actor, but I just don't see, like, what you like about what people loved about his story, because mm-hmm. there's more growth with Andy and Medavoy, even though I don't like Medavoy. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like Andy and Medavoy are growing more in these last couple episodes than fucking Kelly has the whole season, but that's just me.
And they're introducing new characters that are more interesting.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm glad, and I like Martinez. I'm glad that he's there. I think he's a good
character, and
he's a good character and a good detective. It's getting better. And
yeah, this is when the season one kind of picks up and gets to a point where they're like, maybe we can get rid of Caruso and then focus on a little bit of everybody rather than just Caruso.
No, I don't think. I mean, I have some knowledge into that a little bit.
Anyway,
trivia stuff, but. They wanted David Caruso to stay. He just wanted more money. And they were like, we're not going to pay you this much money. And so they let him go. So it worked out in the end.
NYPD Blue Balls. It's on AstroBrothersPodcast.com. Every episode is there, and it's on iTunes, and it's also on Stitcher. So if you listen on any of those formats, you can listen to Astro Brothers Podcast. And... Asher Bros Pod is the Twitter account. I'm at Kirk Has Glasses if you're interested in anything I'm saying. Kyle, is there anything you'd like to say and or recommend?
No, I don't got anything.
Besides, don't make your significant others rape about you if you're a man.
Oh, that's always a good
a good way to live.
That's always a good motto to live by.
If your wife or girlfriend or
gets raped, don't make it about you.
Yeah, fantastic. Have a good one, everybody.